So we are at the last Sunday of July, which is crazy. So now's the time to take stock of your summer and see if you've had your priorities straight. And I like to judge that by how completely tan you are. You know, like if you've taken full advantage and you're living your best life this summer, you should be like really, really tan. I have a crazy farmer's tan going on. Yeah, Trina, you look great. It's like, yeah, that's good. Yeah. White as a ghost. Okay, so not living your best life. We're going to work on that. That's okay. Okay. Let's see if I can bring it back from this entrance. Okay, regardless of how tan you are, really what we're talking about today is, are you living your best life? Are you living in grace? Pastor Glenn talked about grace last week and how are we going about that? And I promise that's the last time I'm going to mention tanning for this sermon, and I'm not going to mention it second service either because that did not go as planned. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mike. That's me in the center, and the rest of my family is absolutely gorgeous, and especially Sonia, who's shaking her head right now. That's my wife. We've been going to Grace, I just realized I was doing the math, for like 11 years, which, if you want to do the math, is about a third of my life, which is crazy. And if you're new here, like, this is an awesome place to be. We have, our best friends are here. This is our family. This church is just such an amazing place. And so, if you're relatively new, I hope you keep coming back. I hope you ain't thrown off by my terrible tanning references. And that you come back next week because somebody better will be speaking. We are in the book of Romans, and what Romans is, it's a letter from this guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament, and he traveled all over the Mediterranean world in the decades after Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, telling people about Jesus. And he wrote lots of letters to do so, and he wrote this letter to a group of believers in Rome, and it was probably just a small congregation, maybe not even as many people as are here today in the city of Rome who received that letter, but they kept it, they saved it, and eventually they compiled all of these letters together, and that became the New Testament, and that's what we get to read today, some 2,000-ish years later. And so before we dive into today's passage, I just want to see if you would join me in a word of prayer as we get going. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's lasted this long, that we get to read Paul's words and hear those truths, and they become alive. They become alive in our life because your word is living and active. Ask that the words that you give me today and the words that you give Chris and Farmington would just be yours and not our own, and that all of us would walk away from this place with something new, a new way to live, something new to work on this week, and as you reveal yourself and your love to us. In your name we pray. Amen. That's the Bible. There we go. So last week, Glenn shared, at least Glenn was here, I'm not sure who spoke in Farmington, but I was here and I got to hear Glenn talk about grace. And to summarize, to condense that into one slide, Glenn said that justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve through your own actions, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. And really what that is God extends grace to us. And when we come to him and we say, I believe who you are, and I believe that Jesus is who he says he was, that he died for my sins, and he took my place, he took the punishment that I deserved, God extends grace to us. He gives us his love, and he wipes away the record of our sins, and he adopts us into his kingdom. He adopts us into his family, so we become his children. It's absolutely amazing, just like Sue was sharing in the middle of the songs this morning. It's absolutely unbelievable. And so that was chapter 4 in Romans, and so now we're in chapter 6 today. And, okay, so if you're tracking along with Paul, Paul says, okay, this gift of grace is available to you. If you accept it, here's what comes next, all right? And so he goes on to say, can you guys read that? That's a Paul says, well then, should we, now that we have this grace, keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it, in sin? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And if you're following along in your Bible, we're going to be in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 today. We're covering a lot of ground, and I'm going to do it through the lens of my current favorite Netflix show, Stranger Things. Who here has watched Stranger Things? Show of hands. It's okay. Who here has not? All right, it's about a little more than that. You have Matt Arnold. What are you doing with your life? You need to sit on your couch more and watch some Stranger Things. The rest of you too. For those of you not familiar, Stranger Things is a Netflix sensation, and it takes place in the 1980s in the mythological town of Hawkins, Indiana, and it follows like a bunch of kids, and they somehow discover there's been a break in our dimension, and they discover this evil dimension, and this evil dimension is trying to come through this like gate. I'm trying not to spoil it for anybody, but essentially, like, this evil dimension is trying to come over and take over our world, okay? And so season after season, there's three of them, they're fighting these evil forces, all right? And they also happen to have a telekinetic friend who is responsible for opening the gate, but also can fight the monsters that come through and things like that. And it's a story of, like, passion and love and the 1980s and the never-ending story. Stranger Things, great show, you should watch it. Or not, whatever. But I'm going to refer to some of the characters in Stranger Things when we're talking about sin today. And so the way the Bible talks about sin, and sin is just missing the mark or doing things that don't align with God's will. Looking outside, looking either to ourselves or to the world or to anyone but God for guidance. And the Bible really personifies sin. There's a couple places where sin is said to be crouching at your door, like ready to pounce or strike. That sin brings death with it. That's in the book of James. Or even earlier in Romans chapter 3, we talked about that, but the wages of sin. If sin is a boss, what sin pays out is death. And so the Bible refers to sin almost as this like creature bent on your destruction. And if you're following along, in Stranger Things, the creature that is bent on the destruction of Hawkins, Indiana, these four kids, and the world, is the Mind Flayer, okay? Stay with me. The Mind Flayer, I see like a lot of like, just like, what is he talking about, looks. The Mind Flayer is this creature from this other dimension that wants to take control of people to force them to do evil things, okay? Creature from another dimension, bent on evil and destruction, trying to control the minds and actions of everyone it infects. And that's what sin is. Sin equals mind flare. Romans 3, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Here's the deal, though. Like, that's not how this world was created. This world wasn't created to be attacked by the Mind Flayer, or even have the Mind Flayer in it, just like Hawkins, Indiana shouldn't have it. We were put from the very beginning into a perfect world, where we live in perfect harmony with creation. We were, God is love, right? It says that in 1 John. God is love. God, out of love, created us so that we could love him and he could love us. This love, like, cycle, right? And we were put into that, into a perfect world where we could become the very image of God and be on earth, like, to help him rule the earth. Like, it's a pretty lofty thing that we've been created for. And we got to walk, this is not a picture of Adam and Eve and God walking in the garden, but this is just, if you think about it, like, God would come down to his creation and walk with Adam and Eve. We were designed to, like, walk hand in hand through God, with God throughout all of creation. And unfortunately, through sin, through through us following our own desires and looking up to other places, looking to ourselves, looking to the rest of the world for wisdom, instead of following God, we broke that relationship. And the echoes of that original decision so many years ago, back in the beginning, echo today, because we live in a broken world. We live in a world full of sin, where the mind flare sin has control. Sin, as I've said, is just missing the mark. It's following anything outside of God, looking to ourselves for guidance and not Him. And the good news is that there is a way back. There is a way back to restore our relationship the way it was created, but it's not something that we could do on our own. We could never be good enough. We could never earn our way back. We could never get back to that perfect point in creation. We needed help. We needed somebody who could live a perfect life and then would take our place in grace, the way Glenn talked about last week. And that was Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus is the Son of God who came, who became human, who lived a perfect life, who was able to be without sin, and then willingly went and died so that me and you and every single one here, if we just have faith and we just say, yes, I believe that, then we get to have that relationship again. So, back to the mind flare. So before Christ, we are in the grasp of sin. Sin leads to death, and death both, in a spiritual sense, death from the perfection of creation that we were created for, and death ultimately in separation from God. And again, no spoilers, so don't shout anything out. But here's an example of somebody who's been flayed in the show and is in control of sin, or in this case, the mind flayer. Paul calls us that before Christ, we were slaves to sin. We did things that were beyond our control. He said, should we keep on sinning so that God should show us more and more of His wonderful grace? No. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or if you've forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus, we joined Him in His death, for we have died, this is the key verse here, for we died and buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Jesus broke the power of sin on earth, and He broke the power of sin in our lives. And that power lives in us. And so when we receive grace, we experience new life. We're given new life. And that's God's Spirit, God Himself, living inside of us. It's a pretty amazing thing that sometimes I think we just kind of gloss over when we read it. That God's Spirit Himself, the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead, lives in us. Which makes us, in this analogy that I'm carrying on way too long, supercharged 11s, all right? So 11 is the hero in Stranger Things. She has extra powers, and she can fight evil, all right? That's us. That's all of us. Because we have the Spirit of God living in us, we can be His image, and we can combat the powers of sin in this world. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature, Paul writes in Romans 8. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, even though sin brings death, the Spirit gives you life today and eternally because you have been made right with God. So the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. So Paul is essentially saying, you are new. With faith, you have received this grace God freely gives. You are new, so go and be new. Stop sinning. If there was an audio portion of the sermon, this is where the record scratch would come in, and it would be like, what? Like, I mean, yes, we're new, but like, that doesn't mean like we're perfect. It doesn't mean like we do things right all the time. That doesn't mean we can live, without sinning. And God knows that. God knows that. And so, actually, to go back to the record. I just want to do an editorial aside here and just make sure that we're all clear, that we're all tracking on how salvation works, okay? Because it's not about what we do as people, it's about what God has already done for us. And so first comes faith, all right? Faith that Christ was the ultimate sacrifice that took care of our sins, that we have forgiveness, and then right then and there, regardless of how good you are or not, you are made right in the eyes of God. After that, God's Spirit living in us helps guide our thoughts and our actions and changes our heart from the inside out so that the actions we do become works to serve God, okay? They don't earn our salvation. They don't give us any better standing with Him, but we are changed and we bear, the Bible talks about this as bearing fruit. The same way, like, if you know a tree is good, like if you know an apple tree is good, it's going to have flowers in the spring and it's going to grow fruit so that you can enjoy apples in the fall. And if it's not doing its job, it doesn't have any of that. So we bear fruit because of God living in us. And it doesn't work the other way around, right? We're not like, I'm not going to use the apple tree metaphor, but we're not earning this privilege. We can't earn it. We cannot live lives that are good enough to overcome the divide that sin creates between us and God. We need Jesus to do that for us. That's my editorial side. So we're back to Romans 6. And Paul continues. He says, okay, grace has set you free. Stop sinning. Next step. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? We choose to obey sin, or we choose to obey God. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you, and this is me, this you is anyone who believes in God. So once in the past, you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves instead to righteous living. And because the weakness of your human nature, Paul's not, he's kind of insulting the reader, but he's just saying we're weak and we're imperfect, which is true. I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. But now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. And when you are slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things that you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin, and have become slaves of God. Now do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. A lot going on there. And some really, like, trigger words. Paul talks about slavery a lot, which, you know, that's a heavy topic. And he says that before we made this decision to follow Christ, that we were slaves to sin. But now, he's saying we should be slaves to God. And that's like a difficult thing, especially for us in the West, you know, where we, and here in this country in particular, we just celebrated like freedom from Great Britain, right? And we are big on personal freedom. We are big on my truth and what's right for me. And I, you know, am the man who makes my own fate. But Paul is saying that's not really how the world works. He's saying there are two directions you can go. Like, you can be a slave to sin, you can follow the world, you can live in the brokenness that this world is, or you can commit your life to God and following Him. And the resulting actions and the results of your life will change based on what direction you're following. If you think about it this way, slaves to God, not a phrase of super love. It's not something that, like, when you're telling your friends about Jesus, you're like, you too could be a slave to God, right? But if you think about it this way, like, if God is God, creator of the universe, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, holds the universe together by the power of his word, right? He spoke it, and then the universe, with billions and billions and billions of stars and universes and galaxies spinning, ever expanding. You know, he set the time-space continuum into motion and holds it all together. If that God says, follow me, are you going to be like, sure, Sunday mornings, 9 to 10:15 if Mike keeps it short? Or yeah, you can be my advisor if I have a problem, or, you know, I'll treat you as a consultant. You can give me some good advice, and I'll figure out, like, what I want to do, and, you know, out of that, and I'll mix it into my life. Or are you going to say, okay, yes, you are God, and I'm going to serve you with all I am, my time, my money, my talents, the way I live, who I talk to, the way I am, everything I can do, God, that's all yours. And that's what God is calling us to, and that's what it means to be a slave to God. But it's not something that we can even do on our own. You know, like, we can try and try and try, but we need God's help to do that. Amen, indeed. Romans 8, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. It's this paradox, right? Okay, so like, if we choose to follow God, he gives us his Spirit, which helps us follow him more. And the more we follow him, the more, like this goes on and on and on. And it's not us starting it. Like it's the Spirit in us doing the work, but we get to participate because we have free will and we get to follow him. Nobody's perfect, though, okay? I'm not going to go too much into chapter 7, but when you get home today, you should read chapter 7, because it's all about Paul saying that, okay, in chapter 6, I said, you have grace, so stop sinning. Chapter 7 is Paul saying, the trouble's me. I'm all too human. I'm still a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So this is Paul, who lives in grace, who has the Spirit of God living inside of him, saying, I still do things that I hate. I do things, and I don't even know why I'm doing them. I do things, and I just know that that's the sin in me coming out. How many of us, like, can relate to that? Like, it is, like, kind of depressing sometimes. You know, like, I've been following God, not always well, definitely not perfectly, for a long time. I was a super evangelical church when I was a little kid, and they would do like altar calls like every Sunday. And if you wanted to follow God, you filled out a card in your pew. That was step one, was to fill out the card, and then you brought it up and you like gave it to the elder or the pastor or whatever, and then you wept at the altar. And it was actually like, the card part was weird, but the altar call was actually really awesome, because it's a symbol of saying, I got my life has changed, I'm going to do this publicly, and there's other people here supporting me in this. But I did that like when I was 5, and so I don't think I fully comprehended like everything that like this was going to mean for my life, but it's been a gradual unfolding over the last like 31 years. And it's a constant struggle, right? Like, we have the Spirit of God living in us, but we live in a world that's broken, and we still have sin living inside us, and they are fighting. It's the mind flayer fighting against the leaven in us all the time. And what I think it does is it reveals this truth, is that we are saved. Day one, from the minute that I came down, I was 5 years old, filled out that card, or whatever your story is, whenever you first said yes to God, you were saved once, forever, all time. Then, because we are also still living, we are being saved. Like, God continues to refine us. This is a process that we get to play a part in, and it's the Spirit working in us as we ultimately look towards eternity, where we will all be saved, we will be one with God forever. Like, so we are saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. All of these are true all at once. Mind blown. Better than strength. But these these changes, like, in your own life or in mine, they take time. Like, it's crazy. It takes a lifetime. And I was trying to find this quote. I read about it, but, like, you know, Mother Teresa at the end of her life. Mother Teresa, we could all agree, like, lived, like, a kind of decent life. She seems like she was cool. Be good to hang out with. At the end of her life, someone was like, you know, what's it like to be so holy? And her response was essentially, the longer I live, the more I understand the depths of my own depravity. And so as we follow God, he shows us there's always something to work on. There's always something more that his Spirit wants to correct in us so that we can be holy. It's equivalent of running a marathon. And, like, marathon, cool thing, it's awesome to do, it's a good chance. Very few of us, like, anyone, like, we're here now can say, like, I'm going to run a marathon. And I legitimately believe that everyone in this room can start tomorrow and work towards that goal, all right? I do not believe that anyone in this room can say, I'm going to run a marathon and then go out tomorrow and do it, if that's the first time you ever had that thought. It's a process. Paul likens this journey of walking with Christ to a race. And it's a race that will last our entire life. And it's one that we have to get up each day and say, yes to God, I'm going to run with you today, and we're going to see how far we get, and we're going to do it together, because I know that's your power working in me. Because ultimately, if we follow sin, then all we get is death. But if we follow God, he has eternal life waiting for us, and we get to experience that eternal life right now. Amen. Love it. So when you give messages in church or sermons or whatever, they tell you you're supposed to give, like, I don't even know who they are, but, like, the people on high say that there's, like, this is beyond, like, Pastor Kelly, okay? Kelly never told me this, but all the books say you're supposed to give people, like, application, right? Like, okay, here's, like, step one, step two, step three that you can do in your life this week. This is not something that's, like, super easy to just go and sin no more, right? Like, this is change management in our lives. And so, one, I think it's letting go of our sin, letting go of the things that are keeping us from following being wholehearted slaves of God, following God with every bit of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and just letting go of that. And trying to recenter your life on him. So if you think about, like, where you've been at this summer, apparently tanning isn't things people are into, so I hope that means you spend a lot of time in the Word and prayer instead, working on that spiritual tan. If you haven't, that's fine. Sorry. I got a couple of laughs. It was good. So, like, this is an awesome place to learn how to do this. We've got, like, Bible studies available. There are prayer groups. There are small groups. Like, there are so many ways that we can connect to God. There are so many apps nowadays. There's so many podcasts. And all it takes is just time for us to focus on God and to ask him for more of himself, because he doesn't ever stop giving. He'll always be there. And when you screw up, and you will, and it'll probably be even before you make it out the door today, this door, not the door of your house, God is there for you, and he's big enough for that, and he's there with forgiveness for what we're struggling with. Because we have been saved already. Day one. And we are being saved and refined right now, and ultimately we will all be saved when we're together with him for eternity. Which means that this broken world is being transformed. God it says in the Bible that God is at work bringing a new heavens and a new earth. He's bringing new creations out of each and every one of us so that we can get back into that relationship with him. So that we will one day be in this place where we can walk hand in hand with him. And that's not through anything that we've done or any decision that we've made or how good we've lived our life or how much time we spent in the Bible or how much change management we've been able to put in place, but has entirely everything to do with Jesus and sacrifice that he made to give us a way to defeat the mind flare once and for all. There is no, like, season two of this, like, Jesus versus sin battle. Like, that was it. It's done. The story's over. And now we get to be part of the celebration. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and then I also invite you all to stand. We're going to take communion in a little bit. I'm going to pray and talk about what that means if that's not something that you're familiar with. But as I pray, if this is the first time that you've heard this whole story about grace and how grace works in your life, then I would ask you to come up after service and talk with one of the elders here and pray with them and ask God to make this day one in your life, to come and be saved from sin and to have your heart and your life be changed for you to be made new. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about communion. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for breaking the power of sin and for giving us eternal life. Thank you that you did that once and for all on the cross and once and for all when we believe, and that you are continually making us new. God, we just go from this place, you know, help me to be a new creation, fight the power of sin in my own life, fight the power of sin in the lives of all of us, God, so that you would be on display more and more, that your love would reach more and more people in Rochester, Farmington,